You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello.
You guys are the best. Man, you guys are insane, hilarious, and the best stuff I've ever seen.
That's right, Chris and Ray.
Motor Mouth.
Can I win anything? I got through. I can't believe I got through.
Well, I'm glad you guys are around because I didn't even know you existed.
Hey, how are you, Motor Mouth?
This is one of those days, nothing to do, so I figure why not spend it with a couple of nobodies.
Motor Mouth.
You also have my picture up on the webpage.
Boy, you taught me something about that car.
Why must you ask such difficult questions?
Motor Mouth.
I don't know too much about motors.
Do I come running into your show?
We love you guys that have these shows.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Is this that jerky car show that I listen to?
Are you the distributed cap or am I on the port condenser?
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Trying to dial the phone with transmission fluid all over me.
I finally got a chance to listen to you guys streaming. I'm in a good mood. I'm happy.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I haven't even called my own mechanic back, but why don't I ask you?
But you guys are pretty special guys.
Motor Mouth!
Must be a motorcycle thing, because I'm not familiar with that.
Yes!
Let's just think right now. Murphy's Law, what's going to go wrong? Is the board going to explode? Is the mic going to drop? Is my phone going to drop? I love live radio. I'm just having some fun with you guys.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
This is Motor Mouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motor Mouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
All right, don't settle for the cheap imitation.
Right here on Long Island, there's my microphone. I'm Chris Switzer, and of course, here's a man who rolls with the punches, follows all his hunches, and avoids all the crunches. And he does it all from behind the shop bench. It's Ray Guarino. How are you, my brother?
The recently fired from NY1 poet laureate, Christian Sliwa. Now with us, rhyming behind the board.
My compadre Cheech.
You're starting that now, huh?
With the love the compadre Cheech.
All right, I know.
How are you, my brother?
Very good. You know, a couple of auspicious moments I think I want to mention to start the show.
Yes.
Of course, they're dealing with our country's past, our military. 40 years ago today was the official mark of the end of the Vietnam War. Where Saigon fell and the North Vietnamese took over. And I just watched the long Dick Cavett thing on PBS the other night. It was a two-hour show that was very good. They chronologized all of that. And,
wow.
And now, you know, a lot of that stuff wasn't...
So you were depressed, I'm sure, after that.
Well, yeah, of course, because a lot of that stuff we didn't know. Some of the stuff that was shown I didn't know till just now, 40 years later. And you're like, oh, that's what was really going on. So anyway, I think that deserves an honorable mention. But... another thing that happened, another big thing while we're talking about military war, was World War II. Guess what Japan just did? Big story.
Built a battleship.
No, Japan said they're sorry for World War II. This is in today's paper, yeah.
They apologize now?
I thought this guy was one of your cousins. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Sound like one of the guys I met at your house. Yeah, he offered condolences Wednesday.
He's got the kosher delicatessen on Kings Highway here in Brooklyn.
Right, right. And a goatee. Well, he offered condolences Wednesday for the Americans killed in World War II in the first address by a Japanese leader to a joint meeting of Congress. They never say they're sorry.
Yeah, okay.
You know, they never say they're sorry. And they never say, ouch. We bombed the crap out of them, and they don't even say, ouch. May I have another one, please?
Well, they didn't say that, but I'm a conspiracy theorist, so.
Right. He said, my dear friends, on behalf of Japan and the Japanese people, I offer with profound respect my eternal condolences to the souls of all American people that were lost during World War II. He said, to which our troops in World War II said,
I only came here to do two things, man. Kick some ass and drink some beer. It's like we're almost out of beer.
And you're out of
ass. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
So there's our flag flying moments for the day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, George Patton.
Who else would do it if I didn't?
Nobody.
You know, while we're in the European theater.
Yes, I guess you're working your way. You're marching like Sherman through Georgia here.
Well, this is, speaking of Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay, how about a Russian future for Jeremy Clarkson? Thank you for segueing me right into this bit.
All righty. I didn't realize that I had nothing but net there. Go ahead.
I know. Former Top Gear host Jeremy Clarkson, right, because he's in the picture that I'm reading from.
Right.
He's received an offer to star in a Russian comedy This is going to be great. A Russian comedy several weeks after being offered a car show on a network that's owned by the nation's Ministry of Defense. One can only wonder.
Wow.
A producer of the upcoming Russian comedy, which is Kat V. Sapagova.
I was going to say, be nice.
Which means puss in boots.
Oh.
In English.
All righty.
Said negotiations with the caustic car nut are in progress. So, there you go.
Well,
marching our way through the Georgian front.
And you could see Ray, or if you haven't seen Ray, you could see him reading off little pieces of paper on VaughnLive.tv/MotormouthRadio. Go to MotormouthRadio.com, press on the blue bar under our fine, upstanding logo, and it'll take you right to it. And you can see the shenanigans and the tomfoolery that goes on in the studio twice a week, every Thursday and Sunday, noon to one. That's when the live stuff happens. That's when you'll be able to see us live, and that's when you'll be able to see Ray whip out his little audio player and look at those little tiny pieces of paper. I can't see how you can actually see those things, let alone read them.
The glasses, which now I need a new prescription because my eye's fixed. Let's go to the phones.
Oh, shall we? Yeah, why not? Is that thing flashing? Yes, it is.
Yes, that's not the stroke light.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Let's say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Mikey from LT. How are you?
What's up, Mikey? How are you?
Hey, listen, I hope all them friggin' pieces, those people out there driving them little Jap recycled beer cans out there, proud of themselves today.
Yeah, right? I know.
Listen, as a side note to your World War II spiel,
yes.
The Germans use nitrous oxide on the Stukas?
I heard something about that, yeah, in passing in one of the things I had read. Yeah.
Because it couldn't make
those crafty
fuel.
Krauts. Right.
Nitrous oxide.
Yeah, slow driving Yahoo.
Yeah, the problem is, though, when you use nitrous, you need more fuel and more air. So you really have to up everything. You can't just add a ton of nitrous unless you just want to blow the damn thing up.
Yeah, but right. Naturally, they had nitrous injection on those planes. They still couldn't stay with a P-51, though.
Yeah.
Very true. But there you go. You have this wealth of knowledge, Mike. I'm very impressed. You got this stuff down pat.
I think Mike probably had the patent on selling the nitrous bottles. I don't know. Then again, they did beat us to the jet age, but we capitalized on it. And,
well, because we got all the scientists.
And plus we blew up their fuel dumps and ball bearing plants.
Right.
The jet engine was developed by the English. We had a jet in development, and it was slow. Mm-hmm. The Nazis had one, the Italians had one, and the Japanese were getting the technology from the Nazis. But my father was in the Second World War. They had captured early on an Italian jet.
Oh, wow. What, Ron Linguini?
Yeah, actually, I think the guy gave up.
Well, ran backwards.
I can tell you something, Mike, as well. My father was of that age as well, and when I went through his things a little while ago, I found a binder 4 inches thick. He was in a jet propulsion program in the 50s.
Oh, wow.
So we were working on that back then. We didn't have it mastered, but we were working on it.
Explains a lot.
You know, when we finally conquered Europe, what they did was the first thing they did was they rounded up all the Nazi jets, and actuality the Nazi mechanics that were there were showing our pilots how to start them up and fly them.
Ah,
wow!
They were very hard to control.
Mm-hmm.
They were very hard to control. They were actually flying bombs. What they were?
They're kind of like an Audi A6.
And then we turned around, we destroyed everything else and took everything back before the Russians can get their hands on it.
Right. I mean, the big thing for us that I know of was destroying the ball bearing factories. That really shut them down.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal. When we captured all the Nazi scientists and everybody else, you had two groups of Nazi scientists, rocket scientists and jet propulsion people. You heard of Operation Paperclip?
Right. Yeah.
Those are the guys that we can clean up and put in front of the American public, like Von Braun and everybody else.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had another group of guys that they sent upstate New York that you never heard from again.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guys that were building all the evil machinery for the Nazis. And these are the guys they sent upstate to develop prototype rockets, missiles, ICBMs, and all that other stuff.
Oh, wow.
I had a few friends from upstate that I never heard from again either, but I don't think they were Germans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dan and Moore don't count.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. That wasn't that far.
They certainly
right.
weren't rocket scientists either.
No, not at all.
Mike, thank you so much, my brother. You always add a different light to this program, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Ciao.
We'll Thanks, talk Mike. To you. Bye-bye. 516-572-7440. There's your history lesson. That was pretty good, too.
On that note, Christian has been texting me and saying that, of course, they invented nitro, the Germans,
right.
and that nitro started as a parts cleaner. Can
wow.
you imagine, like, Yeah, use this to clean pots. Like, ah, thank you, Carmen. That would be my Boris.
I was going to say.
I don't really have a German accent. That was my Boris accent. Again, I'll clean some pots. Clean your nostril out, too.
Hey, by the way, this is going to be a very special show.
It will be once we get past the history lesson.
That's right, because we have Mike Natoli from South Mountain Raceway in Boiling Springs, PA. We're going to talk a little bit with him. And that's probably coming up, what, 15 minutes after the hour or half an hour?
I asked Mike to call us about 12:15. Yeah, Mike actually started a raceway. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all the destructions and loss of tracks. Today we're talking about a new track that started up.
Yes.
In our striking distance area, not in our extended fuel range area.
I would like to say it's a day trip, but I think you can get there in a couple hours. It's not really a big
thing. Down by Carlisle.
Right.
Which is a five-hour
trip?
Yeah.
Anyway, from here, from a glorious downtown Garden City, the entertainment capital of the world. But we had a little bit of a setback in the Motormouth Radio East Camp.
What, you ran out of sheetrock nails?
No. I ran out of electricity.
Really?
Yeah.
You're supposed to pay that bill.
I'm not happy. I'm not a happy man today.
Okay, why?
I'm not a happy man because I went outside to turn on the switch in the garage and light didn't go on. And I turned around and looked at the house and I'm like, house is on.
Ah.
Garage isn't on.
Okay.
House is on. Garage is none.
How many times did you do that?
About a dozen.
Good. That'll make it work.
Went downstairs, checked the fuses. They're all working.
Fuses?
Not fuses. I'm sorry. Circuit breakers.
No, I don't doubt that there's fuses.
Yeah. I dealt with fuses in the past. No, these are circuit breakers. So I go check. They're all on. I'm like, oh, no. What am I going to do? So I run back outside. And I shut off the one that it's supposed to be on the garage. And I go out there. I start taking the switch plate apart. And the worst part about it is I hear this buzzing. I'm like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
So I got a pipe running down into the ground, into the cement that comes up and into the wall plate.
Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa's holding that pipe, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. And I go and start tugging on the wires, and sure enough, one of them comes right out.
Uh-oh.
Yep, but it's about 9 feet down. I know. So I have...
An extension cord.
Yeah, I have to pretty much... I have to fight about 70 years of...
You're not going to try and snake that stuff out, are you?
I'm going to try to.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well...
I know. I'm going to give it a shot, but I'm telling you...
Buy batteries now.
We've hit a bitter blow in the Motormouth Radio
East
Camp.
Good thing you don't do much work out there. You don't really need power for too much.
Let's go back.
To read the paper.
Let's go back to the phones before I retort to my long-time radio colleague. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths. Hello.
And it's Mike Natoli.
Hey, what's up, Mikey? Hi. How are you?
I'm doing very well. The good Lord gave me another day to try to get it right. And I thought I was calling a little early. I'm sorry. I'm a couple of minutes early.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break while we got you on the phone. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a whole lot about your raceway that we're happy to know that there's a new one around. So we'll be...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Ready? Will you just say that again?
No, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. So hold on, and we will be back with Mike Natoli from South Mountain Raceway in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. We're going to be coming back talking about a new drag strip. You wouldn't believe it. This is fantastic. That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motormouth Radio and the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. People that have been towing boats lately. If you're towing a boat, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And if you've been avoiding all of those low overpasses with your bimini, you know you're a responsible boat tower, that's for sure. Coming right back with Mike Natoli. Keep it where you got it.
Motormouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
WHPC Garden City, New York, the voice of Nassau Community College.
Join WHPC's Daily News Wrap-Up, weekdays at 4:30 p.m., bringing you a complete report of the day's news, home and abroad, as well as sports, weather, and many other informative features.
We're Long Island's FM alternative.
Let the Motormouths help you with all of your car questions at 516-572-7440.
Alrighty, hold on to those calls because we have on the line Mike Natoli from South Mountain Raceway in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. Mike, welcome to Motormouth Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great. Super day.
Tell us a little bit about the raceway that you have, that you started this when. When did this start?
Well, actually, the racetrack started in 1958, the same year I was born.
Oh.
It was, one of those things that, all the World War II veterans, they were having kids, and they were out, using that nitrous oxide, whatever they were using, nitromethane, there was a doctor in the neighborhood, and there was some police officers, and these kids were street racing, and they said, "You got to get these guys off the street." And they started a game of, they bought a little piece of property for them. They all got that fundraisers, and it took them 3 years. And in 1962, they opened up. They finally got the property cleared. It was a quarter mile track. It was actually the Quarter Aces Car Club. And back then, it was a dirt track. It was a complete dirt track. And they made an asphalt, starting line, which was like, I think, 100 feet or something like that. But what happened as the cars got faster, they made it a 3/16 track. So they were running to the 1,000-foot mark before, all this now, everybody's running to the 1,000-foot mark. So they were running for the 1,000-foot mark, and they had paved it and everything else. And then as the years went on, the cars got faster, and they ended up making it with not enough shutdown, so they made it an 8-mile track. So they got a 660 with over, about 1,200 feet of shutdown, so that was plenty. And, and it went to, it was that track. It was sold in, I'm trying to remember what the year was, but it was sold to a guy named Ron Wallace and Ed Stoppel. And the Quarter Race Club, those guys got a little older. They made families. They had lights. They created the lights. And they opened it up at South Mountain Bridge, and they actually had they paved the track, and it was no guardrails back then, and it was coming around, and then in 2007, those guys got they were getting a little up in age, and they sold it to another local businessman, and he ran it from 2007. He changed the name back to Quarter Race Dragway. And then he ran it up until 2000, until it went bankrupt. How I found the place is, Tony Tumbarello, Mike, I don't know if you've had Mike Scano on the program and all of that, but, Tony Tumbarello, a good friend of mine, I just sold my home. I was getting ready to retire. My day job, I used to be electric and gas, fleet supervisor for National Grid. That's my day job.
Okay.
So I'm getting ready to retire. I sold my home. Both my sons are old and they're out, and I'm figuring it out. They're trying to make a living and make a life. So I was going to buy a. You can't race on Long Island. I was frustrated.
Yeah, so are we.
We tried. Mike Scano and I, we lost West Hampton. We tried everything we can to try to keep that place going, and I ended up at the end. I just Frank Aragona. I'm up in Englishtown, and he goes, "Hey, Mike." I said, "How you doing?" Because he lived right in the next town. I grew up in Valley Stream, went to Central High School, Motor Mechanics, Mr. Trotter. We all went to school together. And Frank Aragona, we used to play handball in the back, and I knew Frank. He went to that comp car. I don't know if you ever heard of International Motors. It's a good machine shop, very, very comp, national champion. I mean, the guy is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, Mike, I just sold my home. He said, I bought 5 acres right down the block from English now. He says, I got a spot open. I said, what do you mean a spot? He said, I cleared some land. James Antoinette Park's there. Michael Danielli, Willie Hassey's friend, all those guys. I said, listen, I'm getting tired of people crashing into my trailer, getting off my island top. You got to be an island hopper. I hop from Long Island. And then I go to Staten Island, or I go to Manhattan Island, and then, then sometimes I stop at Coney Island, three hops. and then it costs you $1 million, and every time some stupid cab or somebody's crashing into my trailer, my truck, it was just aggravating. And I guess those guys, Eddie Alessio, all those guys, they started parking their cars by Frank Aragona's place. So I did. So then we go up to... my friend Tony was racing up at one of the Chrysler events up by Carlisle. And me and my girlfriend Deb, we went up to the Henry Ford Museum. And we were coming back. I go, we got to stop and see Tony racing at the little 8-mile track. Now, I never ran 8 miles, only in English town. when the wind was bad, and they'd cut us back to an eighth mile. And I hated it. I said, this is terrible. I launched the car, and then I'm driving idling down to the turnoff like, you know, a million miles.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, You can
go back to the concession stand, grab a hot dog and a beer, and still get to the end of the track.
You know, I did the eighth, and then all of a sudden I'm over here, I'm running out of cash trying to get to the end of the track, you know? So I hated it. So when I went up there to see this 8 mile track, Tony was racing, and me and Deb pulling to the spec, there's two separate entrances on this track. This track, I pull up the entrance, you go up this hill. And it's beautiful mid-state Pennsylvania. It's right on the Mason-Dixon. It's dead center of the Appalachian borderline there, right there. Mm-hmm. It is God's country. The good Lord put this place. This is racist heaven. I never, ever imagined I would like 8 mile racing. Well, I pull up there, and I'm up. Me and my girlfriend, Deb, we park a little car on the hill. And all these people have, they're camping, and they're tailgating. They got, this, you know, there's like four sets of bleachers, but everybody's got, you know, blankets spread out, and they're watching. I said, look, it's a natural venue. It's like a mini Brisbane. And I'm looking at this place. I said, just look at this. And all of a sudden, the first set of cars go, they launch, front, hiking the front ends up, and there it is. There's the finish line right in front of us. I said, that's the first time I ever saw a drag race because he's starting the end. You know? And she can never see the end of the quarter mile. So I'm watching this. And I said, Deb, this is fabulous. I never, ever seen anything like this. And the trees and everything is neat, clean. So this guy in a golf cart's driving by, and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, my buddy over there, Tony's racer. How do I get over there? He goes, jump on. So me and Deb jump on his golf cart, and he rides us down. He stops by the one girl in the booth, and he starts talking to her. You know, he collects money, and he gets back on, and I said, and he's got trophies. I says, he picked up trophies. I says, are you the owner? He goes, yeah. And he introduces himself, nicest guy in the world. And he drives me around. We stop at the next concession stand. We stop at the starting line. Then we go, and I'm meeting all these people as we go. And we drive all the way around. I go to Tony, and Tony goes, I go, Tony, this is the owner. He goes, how the hell did you meet the owner? I go, I don't know. I said, yes, the guy. And he gave us a ride. So, but this track, you know, is just, gorgeous piece of racing. I mean, 8 mile drag racing is where Islip Speedway. I never raced at Islip. All my uncles did. My everybody I know raced at Islip Speedway, 8 mile track. Mm-hmm. But I never had the opportunity because I used to go to National. Who wants to go to Islip when you got National? You know,
sure. Right.
So, and then you go to National, you go to West Hampton, either one. So, but I get over there and I see this track. It's beautiful. So the next year, I go back there with my son Anthony. And my son Anthony was the champion up at Englishtown High School. He was kick butt, and Anthony was building a little 67. We're in the midst of, we got a half meat sandwich. He's building a 67 Dart, and he's putting an SRT8 Jeep motor in it. And we needed some parts. He needed some trim parts or whatever. So I go, come on, let's go check out this drag strip. It was the hottest day ever. So me and Anthony are over there, and he gets to my truck. And he ends up running up in street up there. And it was funny, but it was a great day. My son Anthony, one of his most embarrassing days. And I read an article, Peter Bianca did basically the same thing. I said, Anthony, these people don't know. They don't know who you are. Back into the season. We couldn't get this truck. It's got 22s on this thing, or 20s, whatever. And we couldn't get it to come alive. So I made it back into the stage lane. and he forgot to take it out of reverse.
Oh, no.
No,
it was fun. The poor kid was so embarrassed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up running up, or whatever. It's a long story. And then the next year, me and Deb, I said, we're going to go race the Christ the following year, you know. So we went on vacation. I raced on Sunday in Englishtown. I towed my trailer down to Delaware, down in Maryland. We went, stayed on the shore, and then we came up Christ for the Friday, and it rained, and it rained out that whole weekend, so we didn't get the race. And in the following year, I sold my home, and Tony says, you know, the racetrack's up for sale. And I was looking for a small little house with a big garage somewhere off the Penn Turnpike so I can go racing. And I looked at it, and I go, I don't have $500,000, but let me see what it's about. And I went over there, and it happened to be the same day that they had the Eddie Turret banquet, and Walter Fry, I called Walter because he ran Long Island Dragway.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Walter, you know, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm up in Pennsylvania. I go, where? He goes, I'm at Hershey at the bank. I go, well, I got to go see the track. You ever been there? He goes, no. I said, I want you to come help me out. Take a look. So I dragged Pony with me, my girlfriend, and it was 4 degrees out, and we see this track, and I made the guy an offer. I made the real estate an offer. And he looked at me, and he said, okay.
That's easy.
Yeah, no, it wasn't easy. Let me tell you something. Because then they went back to the property. I lowballed. This place was the previous owner ran this place into the ground.
He was a nice guy, but he ran the place into the ground.
Well, listen, you know what? I who knows? But maybe it wasn't. But whatever it is, he don't have it now. He left a great starting line for me. He did. You know what? He got the track where we can take it. We got the starting line is as smooth as the pool table. He got a big inheritance, and he made like 5 businesses, and he built this track. The starting line is as smooth as a pool table, 240 foot of concrete.
Nice.
Then it goes out, and at the end of the track, at after 1,300 feet, after the the shutdown, you got a left-hand bank turn like a NASCAR. It's
more fun than
that. Yeah.
That's
right,
cool.
Right turn off frozen, bank left-hand turn. It's cool.
That's excellent.
Where the hell was I? I forgot. I'm sure I don't want to make a curse. I once in a while.
Yeah, try not to.
Put me on delay.
Yeah.
But you don't have to worry about me. I bite my tongue. I've been very, very good lately. But it took us 6 months. I opened it up. I bought it finally. We closed on June 24th. In fact, I had Mike Trotter with me and Tony Tamburello. We walked into the attorney's office, and we sat down. We didn't think we were going to get it that day. I had a fantastic attorney, and the guy made it happen. And because there was so many liens, this guy fought collateral against property. I mean, it was a mess. It was a real mess. Everybody who told me, goes, you're crazy. And, you know, if I would go to Shark Tank today and went up there and I said, yeah, I'm thinking about going into business. It's only 30 days if we have this agreement, 31 days a year, and it depends on sunshine. They would look at me like, and how much you putting into this? And they look at me like, I'm out. Not one of them will be in.
Right.
But Mike, but then again, I think you told me the first weekend you were open, you had 38 cars there, correct?
Amazing. We I couldn't believe it. We were ready to go. We bought it on the 24th, June 24th. I sat down. I had one of the local super guys, this guy, Dylan Griffey, great guy, Capital Pavement, family-run business. I went and got estimates to have the place because the customers were all the races. That place used to have about 200 cars a weekend, which is a small 8-mile track, you know. Maybe it had 140 to 200. And he was down to less than 30 cars a week. Because he laid down a crush slate, you know, and it was giving everybody flat tires, and the pits were a mess and everything. So I closed on the 24th. I contracted with him. We paved the 25th, the 26th, which was Thursday, Friday. We had all of the pits, the staging lanes, we paved. We put up gates. I had a lead. I had the people, the local racers, the guy Mike Jones and his family and four of us, they put up the gates. They started cleaning the place up. The following week, we had the whole place painted. The people came out and drove. I had like 80 volunteers painting, replanking the grandstands, you know, all of that stuff. Painting, cleaning, cutting. They put their own tractors, lawnmowers, weed whackers. The place is like a park. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
And we have a beautiful stream. I have 4 of my own bridges now. I don't have to pay Carrizano. I don't have to pay the Frog Bank.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay the Outer Bridge. I got my own. I'm going to name these bridges one of these days.
There you go. You don't have to pay a toll on any of them.
Yeah. You go through. There's a stream that runs through the backside of the track. We actually have little duck race. Really family friendly. My Mike Trotter, my girlfriend, we run these duck races. We've got the little yellow
duck races.
We bring them on the one front bridge. We drop them when we race them. At intermission, we do an invocation play ceremony, you know.
So it's not like it's not like the scary English town lake.
Right.
Use it and the people enjoy it. I mean, the only thing that's scary, you know, are, there's, what do you call those, copperheads?
Oh, yeah, snakes.
Yeah, you got it. That's the only thing you got. And if you smell cucumbers, I'm a city slicker, man. I don't, my cousins, people have snakes, but You know, he's a poisonous. Tony Tamborello was had a heart attack with a big
wow.
You know?
Wow.
So, but it's a family friendly run track. We do, you know, when you come to a track and you see the starting line and then the finish line and who won, I don't even have scoreboards up yet. We're working on that. I mean, I had so many people helping me. Pete DeJana, you know, DeJana Truck.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was this guy started. What a story! I love listening to people's stories. And he started in 1957. He started off with a little gas station, and he knew my friend Mike Trotter, and they started working on it. And look at his business now. He asked me. He goes, Mike, I also went to school in the evening, New York ADI. I don't know if you know, but automotive and technical diesel and collision school. That's where they painted my race car, and we built it all there. But so I teach at night also. And Pete says to me, he goes, Mike, you're still working during the day. You're working full, you know, the full four shops. You have all these people. You do sparkle. Then you teach at night. Now you want to go to a racetrack business? He says, how do you do it? I look at him. I go, you're asking me how I do it. I wonder how you did it.
Yeah,
Because Pete DeJana is just the best guy. I mean, all of Pete is love. I don't know if you remember. You want to talk about a story about a guy who started out in this automotive business and is the American success story. I mean, this country, and he's a former Marine, and my father was a World War II veteran, and if it wasn't for those guys, you know, you're talking about the guy said he was a stupid. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't want to yell. I'm yelling over here, but I told each other, go, that's not where it came from, nitrous oxide. You look at all the nitrous oxide we were doing tonight. And these guys came from World War II. They were sticking it in their cars, you know?
Wow.
They knew about it. Mm. Yeah, so, but whatever. You know, and Pete DeJana, I mean, I sat with Pete. And I said, Pete, what do you think I should do? Because I was having so many troubles. There was so much problems with this property. You know, they were throwing everything under the sun at it, environmental, the town, the neighbors. I said, what should I do? And he basically suggested it and told me what he would do. And it worked. We bought the track. And we took this track. We took it from, I mean, and the, I... The guy stole everything. The timing system, all the equipment was supposed to be a turn. It was supposed to be a turnkey track. He went. I didn't even have a key to turn. He stripped it clean, Ray. When I tell you, he stripped it clean. So I needed a timing system. I contracted with the. He had after I bought the track. After I bought the track, everything he took. He goes, "Would you like it back?" He goes, would you want to buy it? I said, no, not really, because I'll accept it back, but I'm going to have to call the bank and let them know you get all the stuff. You know, because it was bankrupt. So I ended up contracting with the same timing system, a guy named Tom Hagen. He was a Marine also, and TSI timing system. I contracted on July 3rd. We were going to do it on July 3rd. We had it all set up. We were going to run the Chrysler race on July 11th, which was the Friday. That Thursday, I talked to him. I spoke to him. We had everything set up. We were going to go back after the long weekend, install the timing system Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, test it, Friday, run the race. Well, wow. Says to me, he goes, Mike, you know, I sent him half of my money for the timing system. I don't know if you know, these timing systems are very expensive. So, I went for my left and half of my right lung this track, and I was like, you know, all right. So I went and I gave him the money. I had the cash, sent him the money, half of the deposit. So I said, we all set for next week, Tom? Yes. And it was a nice guy. And I said, but you never can tell, Mike. I said, Tom, I'm from New York, man. You don't understand this. We don't know. We get it done. I don't care how it's getting done. I have plan A, B, C, and then we start numbering them, you know? We're going to get it done. So he goes to me, yeah, I know all of that, but it's a long weekend and you never can tell. I said, all right, Tom, we'll see how it goes. Well, Tuesday morning, I get a phone call from his partner, Duke, who is 74 years old. And this is the guy who does the install. He's 74.
Wow.
He calls me up on Tuesday morning after the 4th of July weekend, and he says, Mike, we're not coming. I says, what do you mean, Duke? What's going on? He goes, Tom was shooting off fireworks with his grandkids. Out in the field, and he had a massive heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And I looked and I said, oh, crap. You got to be kidding me. I'm so sorry. I mean, I just, you know, he said, and that's what I learned. You never can tell.
Right.
You know, life is so, I mean, I look at the obituary. Life is so fragile that, you know, here I am talking to the guy on Thursday, and in the last words out of his mouth was, yeah, I know, Mike, but you never can tell. You know, and that was the last words out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it made me a believer. And every day I look at it, I look up at the sky, and I go, listen, I'm with you. I tell the good Lord I'm with him all the way.
I tell you what, Mike. Let's make that our last words for a minute. We're going to take a break, so let's do it. Let's regroup. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about South Mountain Raceway.
Sounds good. Mike Natoli from South Mountain Raceway in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania, on the phone with us, giving us the full history right here at Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Of course, you can check out this program on iHeartRadio. And of course, you can also check it out on Performance Motorsports Network. That's what we're here for, to spread the good cheer here at Motor Mouth Radio. We're coming back with Mike Natoli. Keep it where you got it.
Have a question about your car or someone else's car? Then give the Motor Mouths a call. 516-572-7440.
Break out the mood rings and slip on the platform shoes. It's the Super 70s, the decade that brought us Elton John, Donnie Marie, and Fonzie are back on WHPC. Join me, Ron Stevens, as we count down the top 20 hits of a featured week and hear lots of bonus hits from that memorable decade. So listen to the Super 70s on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College.
The Super 70s, Tuesday at 12 a.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. on 90.3 WHPC.
This is Antonio Huggy Bear Fargus, and you're listening to Motor Mouth on WHPC 90.3.
All righty, thank you so much. This is Motor Mouth Radio. It's your one-stop shop for all things automotive. And right now, we're on the phone with Mike Natoli from South Mountain Raceway in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. Mike, I love the fact that you sound so passionate about what you do and how you do it. It's just fantastic to hear this. And just for the fact that you probably blend right in with the locals in Pennsylvania must be monumental in itself.
Oh, yeah, I blend real good.
Mike, let me ask you a question, Mike. I know we touched on this.
You ever see what was that movie?
My Blue Heaven.
No.
No, My Cousin Vinny.
You fit it, right? And I talk to these people, and they look at me, like, and I tell this guy to do something, right? I said, listen, I need you to do this. One of the employees I got there. And I watch him, and I watch him walk the other way. Where are you going? I go, do you understand what I said? He goes, not a word.
Not a word. Nice. Mike, let me ask you something that I did understand fully. The way, so people know, the way that I got you as a guest was from our mutual friend Willie Hassick. I was over at Willie.
He's the troublemaker.
Yes, he is. I was at Willie's shop last week looking to have some work done on my car, and he mentioned you. He goes, hey, you ever talked to Mike Natoli? I said, no, I haven't. He goes, would you like to? I'm like, Willie, if you say so, yes, I do. So I want to thank Willie, and I saw him yesterday. He said he just spoke to you the night before. So I want to thank Willie, of course, for putting it. The day I get his ass in the chair is the day that I'll feel like I really had an accomplishment, but I'll work on it. And tell me about the first time you met Willie, because I know it was quite an event for you.
Mm. Oh my goodness, he's the start of it all of that stuff. But I want to finish up on one thing, and then I'll tell you the Willie story. But what happened was we had no timing system. We weren't going to race on a Friday.
Oh right, the timing system, right? Because the guy passes away.
Right, he died. So what I did is I said, listen. I sat there. We didn't know what to do. Mike Trotter says, you got stopwatches, don't you? I go, yeah. I go to Larry Bates. He was the original guy. We got flags, and we ran a grudge race on Sunday with stopwatches and flagmen.
Wow. Still works like the old days.
Yep. And we said, we're doing it like the first day it started, and we ran cars down the track. People were running out of gas. I had friends from Long Island. They were right there, brother. They ran out of gas. They did so. They said, we never had so much fun at a track trip. We ran out of gas. They had to push the car off the track.
Yeah.
I made about 20 passes. 24-27 Corvette. It was great. And the little Mopar, this guy, Billy Bartosek, happened to be up there for the whatever it was, the Chrysler. And he brought his brother with a 427, 430. And there he is with a little 340 Duster. Their race, it was like 1968. I swear, 1970. Yeah. Or whatever.
That's great. And you know what? No one made any remarks. No one had anything bad to say. You guys were working with stopwatches and flags, and everybody had a ball, right?
Yeah, have. They love just to go down the track. Listen, I had my computer crashed the week before, and I said, listen, I'm sorry, I'm giving everybody a rain check. I said, you know, if you guys want to shake the car down, come on down. I said, I got a vicious starting line with major teeth. You want to shake your car down? They were trash, just dropping the laundry. No timing system. The guy goes, Mike, nice. All I want to do is make sure the training chip stays a lot.
Beautiful. You know? Well, that's a racer's friend.
They
were
pulling chutes. That's funny.
Listen, Mike.
I know what it takes. I know what it takes. You tow your car all the way there. And it rained. It's rained. And I said, listen, we're not giving up. You know what that ambulance is costing an hour? I go, yeah, I know. I'll pay.
Right, exactly.
and that's the other thing. The beauty of an 8 mile track. It dries fast. You can clean it quick.
Yeah.
And you know, I got everybody off the hill. Come on down with your car. Photo op. Drive my track. We were sitting. I mean, we left. We left. You want? We're so close. You said 5 hours. I don't know how you're going to get the car out 5 hours. what are you thinking, a camel or something?
Yeah, well, he drives slow cars.
You're a drag racer. You're supposed to do 100 miles an hour.
No, I don't.
The rest of us do 50.
First of all, I bring four or five carloads of people with me, and we get up there. We leave at 7 in the morning. We're there before 11. It takes 3.5 hours.
Nice. All right, that's good.
You got to take Outer Bridge to 78. 78 West, right off of 81 South. We're right next to Gettysburg Hall, Hershey, York. The Harley Davidson factory's right there, you know. But Willie Hassett, I got to tell you about Willie Hassett.
Okay.
He, you know, I bought my first carburetor, my first 650 double pumper, when S&K was on Merrick Road in Valley Stream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And God rest his soul. Nick had the Fun City Hall car, the 57 Dolmat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember that car. Did you ever see that car?
We just held the picture. We can hold the picture up to Vaughan Live TV because I have a picture on my phone. I saw it at Willie's shop, of course.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, I had my boss. I had Frank Dominiani. Frank Dominiani helped me build my first motor.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And he helped me. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, you've got the rod. You can't mix up the rod cap. What are you doing? And you told me how to, you know, build a motor. So, but Frank Dominiani, God rest his soul, another fabulous, great, you know, World War II guy.
We miss him.
We do. And, you know, I still live in Valley Stream, so I pass the shop every so often. I still see the high-speed shop there. And, but Willie Hattick, I was a kid, and I had a 68 Biscayne. It was a motion car that was going to be built into one of their, you know, cars. And my boss got it when he split whatever. And I ended up buying this thing. Here I am. I have a, you know, 410 gears. You know, and there's this little 57 with a 283 in it. And I happened to do a time shot next to him. And he does this monster wheel stand. And I was like, holy crap. Here I am I'm getting my ass kicked by a 283 in a station wagon. You know?
right.
And then I was pitted right next to them, too. And Nick, you know, had the wheelchair. And, you know, he's buzzing around, and Willie's sitting there. I don't want to tell you with his buddy. Willie was right here to his Budweiser next door. And I'm like, how do you guys do that? You know, I got to do that. So Willie Hassett was my hero. And then I brought him when I finally built the car. I said, I want to do monster wheel stand. Eddie Alessi goes, this is the beginning you should build. I go, no, Eddie, this is what I want to do. He goes, what, are you crazy? I go, yeah, that's what I want to do. I don't know if you ever... I'm red and white. I used to be Orange Crush. It was a real, you know. And then I had a little 71 Duster with a 340 stock. Nobody believes the stock stroke. Still had a motor. And I go 10-14 with the car.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, and it goes to the 8th like nobody's business, man. I should have a full roll cage, you know. It gets to the 8th real hard. Leaves. And a 9-inch tie. Willie did that car. We all did it together. And that car leaves like, forget it. Forget it.
Wow.
But, Willie Hassett is I got one of my students working with him, and Craig Bernstein's with him. You know, so you guys want your cars he's great. He knows more tricks. And he always told me the best part of cheating is not getting caught, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
You want to hear his stories? There's a lot of stories Willie has, you know.
But, the best part is I was over there last weekend, and a few guys, you know, guys come in, they come out, they assemble it, and Willie will get into a story, he'll start something, and then he just gets up and he walks away. And you're like, wait a minute, where'd he go? He just poked the buzzard's nest, and then he walked away, and then he smiles at you. Like, Willie, get back here.
he's getting old. He had a little kid. You know what I mean?
I know, right, right, right. Excuse himself. So listen, we have friends, our good friends, Dean and Drew Parisi. They're pro mod, they have a pro mod team, Parisi Racing. And Dean is in her car right now. She's listening to the show. She has a beautiful brand new Caddy CTS that's a top pro mod car. And...
yeah, I saw her at the PRI show. I know Dina.
Okay.
Yeah, Dina, we went up there. We were going to try to do some business. She's doing, she's beautiful car, beautiful young lady, biggest skater. How much better does it get?
There you go.
Her last name ends in a vowel. So.
Exactly. Well, she's listening to the show now. She's been texting me throughout the show, and she's going to stop in and see and hopefully run Stella down the track over there.
So you got to make a pass on my track?
If she can do it, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? We're at 225. She should be able to load that thing down. She goes better than 225. Right now, I think the record mile per hour is 225 and the eighth on my track.
Wow. That's cooking.
That is amazing. With a left-handed...
and she's
in
got...
In fact, it's with a Cadillac. I got to look at the guy's name. He's got a silver Cadillac. Maybe Peter knows.
Okay.
It's a supercharged car, though.
Okay. She's got double laundry out of the back of that thing, and it's double actuated, so she can haul it down. That'd be cool.
You can't sleep at my track. As soon as you get through that finish line, you better be dumping the laundry.
Right, exactly. Throwing out the line.
We got over 1,184 feet of shutdown before the bank turns, so.
Yeah, that's plenty. Know. Plenty.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, well, we got to run, and we thank you for coming on with us and spending this time, and hopefully we'll get some people up to South Mountain Raceway, and and we'll be in touch. We'll get you back on again. We'll through the season.
Can I ask one favor?
Sure.
I got a lot of people to thank, and it'll take me another half an hour to thank poor Wilhelm, Mike, my mom, the good Lord. And without all these people, the guys, like, showing up, first part of life is showing up to it. And you realize, and you want to know why I'm so enthusiastic, that I think back and everything I've done in my first part of life, everything I've done, and I've always done it with sincerity and integrity, and I look at it, and that's why I have this enthusiasm about this track. And it's the vacation destination. You want it family friendly. I do $20 to race your car if you drive it in, $30 if you put it on a trailer. I hire half a Long Island. I give every kid, my Chicano's son Johnny, I give every kid a summer job. They're not messing around. They're getting involved. We got the Junior Street program. There's so much going on. The Junior Drag. I mean, I remember stealing my cousin's 65 SS 396. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. Come with your parents' car. Have a good time. But there's so many people I need to thank. And I want to thank you, Ray, and Chris. Giving me this opportunity to let you know, because I feel like John Cross and Bob Fry just interviewed me. I swear, I'm like cranked up like somebody just hit me with a bunch of needles of camp doing it.
right.
Mike, you got to. What's the phone number if anybody wants to get a hold of you, or the website or an email?
My goodness, you're asking me. It's southmountainraceway.com. Oh. So, and my nephew Michael, he did all the graphics and stuff, and he's doing the website. So. SouthMountainRaceway.com. We're minutes away from Gettysburg, Carlisle. We're right down the block from Carlisle. And Hershey and Gettysburg, I think they said it already, Lancaster, York, right in the middle. The location, right off 81 South. You can't get any better. And it's such a little hidden gem. It's like a piece of racist heaven. And you visit that area, you got to stop and see it.
You got it. We are.
And if you come from Long Island, you get a free, I'll get you in somehow, because I know you just paid all the toll. If you come just to race, I'll do something. But if you're coming to go with your family, you got to buy T-shirts.
Mike, you are the best. I am loving this. This is fantastic.
It sounds like a deal.
Yeah, you are the one-man riot rooting squad for this racetrack, and we couldn't have it any other way. Thank you.
I'm going to be the John Force of 8 Mile Track. Ray, come up and visit me. I'll buy you a tractor, a burger, or whatever you want. You and Chris, please come and visit us. You got to come up and see this place. It's one of the best days. It's the finest 8 Mile track in Pennsylvania. We're the only one. But we're going to be the best 8 Mile track in the country.
You got it, Mike. We hope to see you soon.
Yes.
And we're NHRA, so make sure you got all your stuff. I'll get you your license.
Yeah, the land of Ned, right.
Wow. Awesome.
And one other thing. We can do drive-along, too. Because we're an 8 Mile track, as long as you're slower than 9 seconds.
Right.
You can put somebody with you and have a blast. But if you want to laugh, bring somebody with you to race with.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yep. All right.
All righty, Mike.
You're awesome, Mike.
I'm done with you guys. Now, you probably don't
want me. No, we'll be talking to you again in the future. Don't worry.
You betcha.
All right, Chris. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah. We'll talk real soon. Take care, my brother. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Chris, you should take this flyer and maybe put a link up on the site for
certainly
South
will.
Mountain
Raceway. Are you kidding? I wouldn't think of anything less. That is definitely going up on the website, that's for sure. That was Mike Natoli from South Mountain Raceway. And if you missed any of that, please go to the website at motormouthradio.com to the download page.
You missed a lot because Mike talks fast.
Later on this evening, that's true. And you'll be able to hear that on the download page. But right now, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, if you're towed a boat in the last couple of weeks, you're part of the crowd that's part of the most noblest on radio. We call them the Motormouth Radio Honor Group. And you're part of them if you kept that boat on a trailer. Oh, wait, you dragged it with no trailer. You wanted to get in the water that badly, right? Well, you're a crazy person. But if you are, you're part of the bunch that is the best in the business. We're back right after this with Ray and Chris.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said more than that.
Bill Horan presents Secrets of Success, the show designed to help listeners uncover their hidden talents to maximize success. Listen to Secrets of Success Wednesdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7:30 a.m. on 90.3 FM WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Your car not running right? Let the Motormouths help you out at 516-572-7440.
Welcome back to Motormouth Radio. We are taking those calls. 516-572-7440. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Let's say hi around with the Motormouths.
Hey, it's Mikey from LT. Listen, he brought back some names I haven't heard in years.
Yeah, that's what happens on this show, Mike. Yeah. You've done the same thing to us.
You've done it, too.
I remember the Fun City Hauler.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? James E. Antonetti, that's another Masked Boy. But, I mean, he sounds like we travel in the same circles.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Well, he has, you know, lived in Valley Stream. He's been around, you know, he's in the area and knows all this. I said the same thing to Chris. I said, boy, a lot. We have a lot in common, yeah. And that's...
Frankie Aragona was an original SNS guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
on Atlantic Avenue,
yeah.
Mike, that's what we love about this show, is because this is what we do. We love to get these guys together. We love to talk about the old times. We love to talk about the old racing. And maybe it's going to churn up a track or two here on the island.
It did, in Pennsylvania.
And it's...
He was on the other side of the coin where they raced legally on drag strips. I was the after 10 o'clock, my 11 o'clock in 19.
Right. I was with you. I mean, I've been on the track, but I've been a lot more on the street.
Yeah.
Late nights on the conduit. All right, buddy. Be good.
All righty, Mike. Thanks,
Mike. Take care.
Must be a Mike thing today.
572-7440. But it's the truth. This is what churns it up, and I love it. I can't get enough of it. To hear the names, to talk about the cars, to talk about the races, and to have a track in Pennsylvania like Mike Natoli says, 3.5 hours instead of what I said, 5 hours.
Yeah, I've gone down. My friend Gerard lives. We've had Gerard on a friend. He's on the show. He's down in Lancaster. And I've done that trip in 3.5 to Lancaster, yeah.
I did it in an old caddy convertible, so.
Yeah.
I guess it was the fact that we're probably doing 48 miles an hour.
So I want to tell you,
yes.
Coming up this weekend, I got a press release today from the Autoseum. They're going to be open from 10 to 3 this Sunday.
Okay.
They're turning back the winter chill, and they're doing all sorts of cool stuff, and it's going to be this weekend. He does say yes. Of course, that should be in the big print, but it's not. It's this Sunday, May 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a bunch of stuff coming up. Father's Day, a couple other Autoseum special events. We'll get to them as they creep up.
Right.
This
weekend, we're breaking out the new season at the Autoseum.
Yeah.
It's coming up on May 3rd.
Go see Sam and the boys.
Yes. Go see the mad scientist, Sam.
That's right.
516-572-7440. So did anything to your vehicle lately at all?
Yeah, I've been working on a Pontiac again. In fact, that's what got us the guest for May 14th. We're going to have Dustin Burr from Willwood Brakes.
We've spoken to Dustin in the past, haven't we?
We have, and I have a lot of their parts in my car, and I was having a big problem. I could not get a good brake pedal, and that's why Barry called Sunday.
Right.
Because I took the car to work Saturday, which was weird, because I saw it here in the parking lot. I hadn't seen it here for like 30 years, but that was kind of surreal. Went over to Barry's shop, got it on the lift, and we did a pump and dump bleed. Still couldn't get it. Had fluid, good fluid, but still had not a good pedal.
Right.
So Dustin, I called him directly. And it's nice when you have the name in the Rolodex, we can go right to the guy who's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, listen, did you bench bleed the master? I said, of course I bench bleed the master. I always do. He goes, well, you probably didn't do it good enough. These masters need a very specific procedure.
Really?
So listen, I said, okay, listen, I want to get the problem fixed. I'm not here to argue. I'm here to fix the problem.
Right.
So I took the master out of the car, put it in the bench, and bled it. And I've been bleeding it. The problem I had that I said to Dustin yesterday was at the, I get the thing, I'd stroke it three or four times with just nothing but fluid through the line. You can see no air. And then when I release it, and he said, wait about a minute between strokes, which I did. I'd push it and go do something, then push it, go do something.
Oh, okay, that's different.
I was finding that at the bottom, very, very bottom of the stroke, I'd see little tiny bubbles coming up into the rear chamber.
Really?
So now Dustin was sure that I had the fittings that were in there, the plastic fittings, not tight enough. And I said, look, I got them as tight as I could. The line wrench was stripping around. So I'm going to play with it again today, and then I'm going to put it in the car and see what happens. But meanwhile, I booked Dustin on the show for the 14th.
Very cool.
What's new at Willwood?
It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about fluid. I think I had mentioned to you in past shows that I did not change the master cylinder fluid in the, the clutch fluid.
No, the slave cylinder. Which
slave
is
cylinder.
Fluid, yeah.
In the five-speed in the Pathfinder. So all I did was, because I didn't want to get in any trouble right away, I siphoned out the stuff that was in the reservoir.
Good place to start.
And I replaced it with clean brake fluid. You know, I actually can feel it in the pedal?
Yeah.
Doing that?
Right.
Just by doing that. Let's go to the phones. Back to fun. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Oh, what's up, guys? Hold on, I got to turn my radio off.
Christian!
Hey.
What's up, brother love?
Not much, man. Not much.
Hey, dude, great show on Sunday. Great, great show that you were on
that
Sunday.
That was fast, dude. And I didn't even tip the iceberg at all with any of the... Well, I could have went on for hours.
Gerard from Rolling Thunder got back to me on that, and he said, hey, you know, Christian evoked names that I haven't heard in years. So people are liking that stuff, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And we're continuing it today.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rick, did you try with doing your brakes? I meant to tell you the other day. Take the caliper off the disc and everything. Just have the caliper hanging there. Pump the brakes through where the pads come out. And then take the tool to spread the pads back apart and see if you could get the air to work back up through the system.
Oh, no, I didn't do that. Well, actually,
I do that all the time on motorcycles. That's all I'm just saying.
Okay.
Try it.
Actually, what happened was in the front, I had good fluid transfer in the front. I was seeing the air in the rear line. And that was what my problem was. The front was good. But I'm going to, like I said, I followed Dustin's dictum. I took it off. I didn't want to have to remove it, but I did. I'll put it back probably today and see what happens. And, yeah, we'll go step by step. Because the end goal is just to get the thing right, not to complain about it. So, whatever.
And I'm still making a trip to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right? I know.
Dude.
Yeah, usually going north, you should go a little southwest. Exactly.
Mike is like the one-man cheering squad for that track. And
I might even run my lawnmower down the racetrack.
Yeah, you know, he'll let you.
He'll let you do it. It sounds like he'll let you do it.
240 feet of concrete. That's a great starting line. Man.
Good dealio. I'll let you guys go, man.
Thanks, Christian.
No,
we'll talk soon. Bye-bye. And we're going to have him on, too. We're going to have Christian back, because you're right. He just touched the tip of the iceberg, that's for sure.
I'll tell you something that I found that I don't know who to look out to for this solution. Adjusting headlights. I found out one night when I had the car out in the dark, man, my headlights are whacked, and I readjusted them. Now, on a Pontiac.
Okay.
With a lowered car. I needed to bring the headlights back far enough to compensate for the lowering of the nose.
Right.
I bottomed out the adjusters, and I don't have the lights where I need them.
They're too low?
Yeah, they're not coming out to my liking enough. So what do guys do, like with street rods and coupes, when they build these real low and slam cars? How are they getting headlight adjusters? Well, with a coupe, you have a bucket. You could do it. But
right.
With a bucket system like I have, I don't know what to do.
All righty. Last minute of the show. Let's go to the phones. How are you running with the Motor Mouths?
Hey, this is Mikey from LT about those brakes.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike, you got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, listen, just open up the bleeders and keep it filled and let it run out during the course of a few hours. That should get all the air. I used to do the same thing on my modifieds with Wildwoods.
Yeah, gravity bleed, yeah.
If the master is above the calipers, it's not a problem. If you have a trick pedal with it below, you may need a residual valve.
Well, I do. I have a residual pressure valve in the rear brakes. I also have a line lock in them, and they're adjustable. Regulator, but
do you have the master below?
No, the master's, it's an A body, so it's right where it should be, up on the firewall.
I mean, some people swap stuff around, but
no.
Why would you need a residual valve then?
Because it's not built into the master cylinder. I questioned that too, because on their website they said you don't need it if the master is above. And when I questioned them, he said it's because it's not built into the master, so you put it in the rear brakes only.
I ran Wildwood masters and Wildwood brakes for years. I never even Hurst disc even back in the day.
Yeah.
And we never ran a residual.
All right, Mikey, we got to run, my brother. We took it right to the top of the hour.
All right, buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. That looks like it. For Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motormouth Radio. We're going to talk on Sunday. Don't follow us home. See ya.
Bye.